Welcome to Turn In Your Hymnal To. I'm Rex Bridges, and today we'll be looking into the background story of Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, 1776. Some ministers regard playing cards as passports to hell. But if conservative Calvinist Augustus Montague Toplady had not had the Six of Diamonds in his pocket one memorable afternoon in 1775, Christendom might have missed one of its most heavenly hymns. English-born and Irish-educated, Toplady became an Anglican clergyman in 1762. Some years later, when serving as minister of a church of French Calvinists in Leicester Fields, London, he penned his immortal stanzas on the only piece of paper he could find, the above-mentioned playing card, while taking shelter in a great cleft of rock in Burrington Gorge, Somersetshire, England. Two standard British encyclopedias attest to this fact, strange as it seems. But Toplady was not one to go about hiding in rocky clefts all the time. He, quote-unquote, fought the good fight of faith with words, as deftly and skillfully as an insulted French nobleman fought with swords. A strict and devout follower of John Calvin, he believed that God saved only, quote-unquote, the elect, of which naturally he was one. John Wesley, on the other hand, preached with equal fervor and as much scriptural authority that God's free grace was available to all. Whosoever will may come, he proclaimed. Toplady refused to recognize the validity of Wesley's argument and proceeded to tear it to pieces in the columns of the Gospel magazine which he edited. Wesley's guilty of satanic shamelessness, he wrote. He acts the part of a lurking, sly assassin while uniting the sophistry of a Jesuit with the authority of a pope. Wesley answered, quote-unquote, the vain boaster with these words, I do not fight with chimney sweeps. Angered by that remark, the editor, in the March 1776 issue of his journal, compared the quote-unquote debt of sin with England's quote-unquote national debt. At the rate of one sin each second, he wrote, every man at 20 is guilty of 630,720,000 sins. At 50, of 1,576,800,000. And at 80, of 2,522,880,000. Since no one can pay off such a debt, we rely on Christ alone to redeem us, he concluded. Then followed the caption, a living and dying prayer for the holiest believer in the world, and 3 6-line stanzas which began, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse from wrath, and make me pure. The author lived only 2 years after his hymn was published, dying of tuberculosis in 1778 at 38, with these words on his lips, my prayers are all converted into praise. His complete quote-unquote works were published in 6 volumes 16 years after his death. Although he and the Wesleys were theological opponents, each accusing the other of misunderstanding the gospel, they were much closer than they realized. Charles Wesley had anticipated his critic by 30 years. In his book, Hymns on the Lord's Supper, published when Toplady was just a young boy, Wesley had included as number 27 a new hymn beginning with this line, Rock of Israel, cleft for me. So instead of singing a solo, Toplady was actually singing a duet with his bitterest rival and severest critic. Maybe when he knocked at the gates of heaven, St. Peter told him he would have to recite the stanzas of Wesley's Jesus Lover of My Soul before he could get in. And no doubt, he told Charles Wesley he could not enter unless he could recite the 3 stanzas of Toplady's hymn, Rock of Ages. While neither man had a place in his heart for the other, the heart of the Almighty was big enough to include them both.
Rock of Ages, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flow be
This has been Rex Bridges, reading from Living Stories of Famous Hymns by Ernest K. Emurian. Copyright 1955 by Baker Bookhouse Company. Used by permission of Baker Bookhouse Company.